Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about neon gas. Now, neon gas is probably something that you've never really thought about before. And if you do think about it hard, then you may see an image of a neon sign coming to mind. But neon gas is really important in the production of semiconductors. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've talked about semiconductors before. They are in everything. These are basically microchips that are used to make every single product that you can think of a smart product. But specifically, they're used in a lot of high-tech industry and the automotive sector. And the world has been experiencing problems with regards to chip manufacturing and supply over the last 18 months or so. And neon gas is now potentially going to run in short supply. And neon gas is really important in the production process for semiconductors, so that's why I want to talk about it today. And the reason that it's come into focus is that Russia have just made an announcement that they are now going to restrict their exports of neon gas, and this follows on from the closure of neon gas production facilities in Ukraine. So in today's video, we'll have a quick look at neon gas itself, we'll look at the applications for neon gas, we'll then look at where the majority of the production comes from globally. We'll look at what's been happening with regards to the Ukraine companies that produce neon. We'll then look at this Russian announcement and how important Russia is to the global market. And then finally today, we'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of the restriction of neon gas supply will be to the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Neon is a colourless, odourless, tasteless gas that is lighter than air and has the chemical symbol NE that you may not have seen since your days at school. Neon is what's known as a noble gas, meaning that it's inert, non-flammable and does not react with other chemical elements. And it's a member of group 18 of the periodic table alongside the other noble gases being helium, argon, krypton, xenon, radon and oganesson. Neon exists naturally in the air, however dry air contains only 0.0018% neon by volume, so extremely small quantities. Neon is obtained using an air separation plant which is associated with the steel manufacturing industry. In order to be cost effective, the air separation plants have to be extremely large, and the largest in the whole world are in Russia. So this is all very interesting so far, but who cares about neon gas? Well, the reason that it's important globally is that it's an important ingredient in the production of semiconductors, microchips in other words. And microchips are in absolutely everything these days. So let's have a look at how a semiconductor is produced.
Chips are made from silicon, an abundant element found in rocks and sand that's purified, melted down, then sliced into circular wafers, the surface on which chips are built in a grid formation. Each wafer can have dozens of thin layers, making up billions of transistors that determine what the chips can do. These layers are printed using lithography. Extremely precise rays of light are projected through a mask of the chip design. When the light hits the surface of the wafers, which have been coated with photoresist chemicals, it prints the minuscule designs on each layer at extremely high volumes.
If you think of a typical processor chip in an iPhone, for example, will have over 10 billion transistors on a chip. And Apple will sell 100 million or more iPhones for each model that's rolled out. So you're already talking in numbers that are far bigger than you or I remember how to pronounce.
As the wavelength of the light source in making chips gets narrower and narrower, it gives us the ability to make chips with smaller features, which means the chip is faster, the chip can be smaller, the power consumption of the chip can be lower.
The smallest transistors are more than 10,000 times thinner than a human hair.
So we can see from this information that microchips these days are incredibly small, and therefore they require really precise lasers to be able to encrypt them with all of the information to do the job that they need to do. And those lasers need neon to be able to operate. They need the inert gas to be able to produce the light in such a precise and accurate manner. And as the technology moves on and advances, we need the lasers to be even more precise. So that gas is absolutely critical to the production of the semiconductors or the microchips. It's not part of the microchip, but it's part of the process for producing it. Because the air around us holds such small quantities of neon, you need huge air purification plants to be able to produce enough neon to be used commercially. And the biggest air purification plants in the world are in Russia. And as a result of this, an industry grew up in Ukraine, whereby the purified air was transported to facilities in Ukraine, and those companies then filtrated down that air to get the pure neon. Prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, around 50% of the world's semiconductor-grade neon, which is critical for the lasers used to make the chips, was produced by two Ukrainian companies, InGaAs and Cryoin. Unfortunately, InGaAs is based in Mariupol, which, if you've been following the news of the events in Ukraine, you'll know that that city has been completely destroyed by Russia, and the factory closed down at the start of March. Now, I don't have details as to whether or not the factory itself has been damaged, but it looks unlikely to be unscathed. Because if you've seen the videos of what's been happening in Mariupol, you'll be aware that everything there has been completely devastated. So it's very likely that the InGaAs facilities have been damaged, and that will be very expensive to reinstate. Cryoin is located a little further along the coast in Odessa, which is also under pressure from Russia, and the company also closed its facilities at the start of March. So as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, two of the largest producers of neon for the semiconductor market, who provide around 50% of the total market, have closed their doors and are no longer making any neon and no longer exporting any. So that represents a major problem for the global semiconductor market at a time when we've already still got a legacy of problems from the last 18 months. Alongside Ukraine, Russia is estimated to provide around 30% of all neon for the semiconductor markets globally. And the Russian authorities have now announced that they are limiting the export of neon until the end of 2022. So they will be restricting which countries are able to buy this neon. And this has come at a very interesting time and gives Russia a lot of leverage in the market, because Russia has taken out 50% of all of the global supplies that were coming previously from Ukraine. So if we remove 50% of the previous global supply, that means that Russia's 30% market share actually equates to around 60% of the market that's left. So this is a very strong strategic play by Russia right now. They know that semiconductors are very important to future technology, and they're under threat right now from all of the sanctions that they won't have access to that technology, because a lot of it is produced in Silicon Valley and in Taiwan. And both of those nations are applying sanctions against Russia right now. So as a response to this action, Russia has now come out and stated that they will now control the supply of neon gas, which is needed to be able to produce those semiconductors. So we've got a really interesting power play here, that one side is saying we won't give you the technology unless you stop doing what you're doing in Ukraine. And Russia's response to that is, well, we hold the keys to the palace, because if you don't have neon, then you won't be able to produce those semiconductors. So it's a really interesting standoff that we have here. The global semiconductor market has not recovered from the problems that it encountered over the last 18 months. Manufacturers are still suffering from shortages of components, late deliveries, and rising material costs, with companies that rely on chips, such as car makers, facing production delays as a result. Many companies, including US manufacturers Applied Materials and Intel, have said constraints would persist into 2023. Demand for raw materials is also expected to rise by more than a third in the next 4 years, as businesses such as the world's biggest contract chip maker, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, increase production. One pressurized gas dealer in Tokyo stated, "We are in great trouble. We have no rare gases to sell." Now, this isn't the first time that the world has experienced a neon crisis. In 2014, when Russia invaded Crimea, neon prices increased over 600%. In view of the lack of exports from Ukraine, companies are now having to use up their reserves, but but the rush to find suppliers that are not in Eastern Europe is causing shortages and price hikes, not only for neon, but other industrial gases such as xenon and krypton. Now, of course, it is possible for other countries and companies to be able to produce neon, but it's the cost-effective nature of what's been going on in Russia and Ukraine that's led to them to be the world-leading suppliers. Now that we've lost those global supplies, that will result in two things. Firstly, an increase in prices, and secondly, a shortage of supply. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think something like neon gas is a great example of an area of the economy that nobody really pays any attention to until it's shortened supply. It's taken for granted that you can get neon gas, and that's an ingredient that's used in the semiconductor process. And if you remove a small part of that whole process, it can throw the whole world into chaos. Semiconductors or microchips are really vital to everyday living. We rely upon technology in virtually everything these days. It's taken for granted. Everything these days is referred to as a smart product, and that's because it's got semiconductors within it. And that enables products to do a lot more than they used to do in the past. But in order to produce those semiconductors, you need to have the lasers. And in order to use those lasers, you need them to be filled with neon gas. And Russia is fully aware of the importance of neon gas to the global economy. Now, it's unfortunate that the two biggest producers in Ukraine, which are the two biggest producers in the world, are both based in the area that's been invaded by Russia. And we've lost those facilities, certainly in the short term, possibly forever. So we don't know whether or not that will come back online. So we've seen a reduction in the global supply of neon in the short term. And the problem with producing neon is that it's very expensive. Because it only occurs naturally in very small amounts, it's expensive to filtrate it. And because Russia have these large steel plants, it's able to use the air purification process to produce neon. So we've been able to get cost-effective neon globally because of what's been going on in Russia. Now that we've lost the Ukraine facilities, we're now dependent upon Russia's exports and also the small number of other countries who produce neon around the world. Now, in the long term, it will be possible for other countries to be able to step in and start producing neon. But in the short to medium term, that's going to be a big challenge because it's very capital intensive. You'd have to spend a lot of money to set up the facilities, and it would take a long time to get a return on that capital investment. So Russia knows that it's in a very strong position right now because it's holding around 60% of the available supplies globally. Now, in the short term, I'm sure the world will be able to cope because everybody's been stockpiling neon because of what happened in 2014 when Russia invaded Crimea. So a lot of companies will be sitting with supplies, but those supplies will only last for a finite amount of time. And the clock is already ticking, and Russia knows this. Now, Russia is under threat via the sanctions of losing access to technology, and that technology will be really important to Russia going forward. I talked about this in one of the other videos. We were looking at a process that was coined by the Russian Central Bank as reverse industrialization. And that was an acknowledgement that if Russia loses access to technology, then it will lose pace in terms of global development. But Russia is now coming back with its counter-argument, and it knows that argon is needed to keep those semiconductors being produced. So it now has something very important that the rest of the world needs, and it will be very interesting to see what the response to this is from the developed world. Because what we've seen so far is that the Western world has been very selective in terms of the sanctions that have been applied. So natural gas is the perfect example. Germany and Italy and a lot of other countries in Europe require that natural gas to be able to produce electricity and also to be used in households. And so they haven't applied the sanctions fully against natural gas because it doesn't suit their needs. Now, ultimately, I think the Western world will take a view that neon can be produced by other parties, but it might cost a lot more money. So the bottom line, as always with these videos, unfortunately, is that this is going to cost everybody more and is going to increase prices and therefore is going to drive up inflation. And unfortunately, even though it is a relatively small ingredient in the semiconductor process, it's absolutely vital. And if the price goes up dramatically, then that's going to feed into the price of semiconductors. And that's going to feed into the price of everything because semiconductors are in virtually everything you can think of these days. We saw earlier in this video a reference to Apple iPhones and how many semiconductors go into those products. And if you think about how many other products you touch on a daily basis that have semiconductors in them, and if we then see an increase in the price of those semiconductors, that will increase the price of all of those products that you're using and will further drive inflation. And as we've discussed before, the continued increase in inflation means that governments and central banks around the world will have to start raising interest rates to counter inflation. Increased interest rates means increased cost of borrowing. That means less disposable income for anybody that has debt. Less disposable income means that you spend less in your economy. That means a contraction in the economy, and therefore we are heading towards recession. So whilst gas is a relatively small part of the global infrastructure, it is still an important ingredient, and we're going to see an increase and possibly even shortages. And the shortage factor, I think, is probably more concerning because we can cope with increased prices. We know exactly what that means for the global economy. But shortages could lead to further shortages of semiconductors. And we've already seen what that means because over the last 12 months, we have seen a lot of car manufacturers have to close their facilities because they didn't have access to the semiconductors. If you don't have one chip that's a vital ingredient in your car, you can't put that car on the road. So one chip can kill your whole production line. And that's what we saw over the last 18 months. And it could happen again. And it might not just be the car manufacturing industry. This could be all industries. Everybody that's using semiconductors could find that they can't find enough product. They can't get hold of what they need, and therefore they have to stop production. So this potentially could be really damaging to the global economy, because if we see companies having to stop production, putting people out of work, they're not getting paid, that will accelerate the slowdown and will accelerate the recession. So this could be a really important ingredient to the global economy over the next 12 months or so. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments on any of the gases that I think are relevant to the global economy. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I've now got a number of creators who are talking to me about videos. So hopefully you'll start seeing some of those over the next couple of weeks. But I'm still looking for more creators. So if you're thinking about making a video, you're mulling over maybe starting doing something, now's the time to get onto it, because I need your support to really make this work. If I don't get enough creators coming through, if we don't get enough interest, then the experiment won't work and I'll have to abandon it at some point. But at the moment, it looks like we should get some product coming through. And why don't you join the party? Why don't you make something? Give it a go. You never know. It could change your life. You could become a full-time YouTuber over the next 12 months just by making this first video. But you've got to do it. You've got to get out there. You've got to make something. You've got to put some work into it. Then contact me and hopefully we can get your video up on the channel. And that will lead to you having your own YouTube channel and maybe doing this full-time. So thanks very much for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end. Really appreciate it.